22 people on the call. And it really is good to see everyone. And it looks like we may have some new people on this call that haven't been here before. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And I am so lucky that I get to work with two amazing older adult services professionals who are your chairs of this affinity group. And Adam Halpern from JFS of Seattle, you can wave Adam, and Christina Gelazzo from JFS of the Gulf Coast. So it's your group and you all can figure out what to talk about, and we don't need to set the agenda, but I guess, Christina, you can take it away.
I was going to let Adam, he's usually our go-to. We were just, I know we've had different topics, and, you know, in the normal times, we probably would have had a presenter or discussed some other things, but right now, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, COVID is the topic, and we thought about talking, you know, just the overall exhaustion that we're feeling, and maybe some tips, ideas. What are you guys doing to make it better on yourself, on your employees? That. Anybody? Adam, would you like to add something?
No, I think we can start there. I mean, we did have some questions, but if people, I think that the stress and starting there, and if people have topics, why don't we start with that?
Mm-hmm. Brenda.
Sorry, Christina and Adam, I'm hosting another meeting at 3:00, so I won't be able to spend the whole time here, but I just wanted to give you some ideas of what we were doing. We're also, I'm from the Cummings Center in Montreal, and it has been, we deal primarily with seniors 50 and over. We have programs and social services as well. And it has been very, very stressful, as you can imagine, on the staff. We've been trying to support all our seniors, not just in Montreal, but everywhere as well. One of the things that the senior managers decided to do was to give a thank you day to our staff. So this is a day above and beyond what is usually scheduled, you know, for our vacation days and our statutory holidays and everything. And it's just a thank you day taken upon, you know, with the supervisor's discretion to add it to a day, a weekend or a holiday. So some people are adding it to the Rosh Hashanah weekend, just to say thank you, to show the appreciation of what we're doing, of what the staff are doing. So we had one that was in the summer, and now we were just offered another one from September till, let's say, the second week in January. It's just a way to, you know, we can't really pay back all the extra hours that people are doing, but it's really a gesture of appreciation. The other thing is, all the time in my meetings, I'm always reminding staff, just because I send you an email in the evening doesn't mean I expect you to answer it. So, you know, I do that often. I'm Zooming all the time during the days. I'm sure a lot of you are. And I get to my emails in the evening. So I'm telling staff to take the pressure off of them, that I really do appreciate all the work that they're doing. The other thing is that I offer them a certain amount of flexibility. So I know that some people, you know, they're dealing with the kids, they went back to school and the stress that they're under. So I said, you know, if you need to take some time away from Zooming or whatever, as long as you let me know you're not available and you make up the time, that's fine. So I think we have to show a certain amount of flexibility with this whole Zooming and virtual reality that we're dealing with now. So, and as far as the seniors go, we're offering everything virtually. We continue to offer everything virtually, and come January, we're probably going to do the same thing too, because we're still on only phase one, which is really not opening it up, not even to the staff, our building. So everything is going to continue to be virtually.
Nice. What I was going to say in response to Brenda is, someone told me the other day that at the end of the day, she calls herself a zombie, not a zombie. I think that's so funny. That's how I feel at the end of every day. I'm like a zombie. So I thought that was a good one. And the only thing I was also going to mention about those staff days is you have to get your, you know, CEO to approve of that, but it's a good idea to bring it to them, because I do know that staff really would appreciate having a day off, getting paid.
And not everybody takes it. I have to tell you, this is the second time we're offering it.
They could take it.
They could take it if they want to, but
yeah,
I would say not. I would say half of the people still did not take it. So,
Is there anyone who hasn't been on this call before that we can just meet, that we haven't met before? Everyone's been on this call. Rosemary from Utah.
I think Nanette, you're raising your hand.
Oh.
Yeah, hi, I'm Rosemary. I've been on everyone since the beginning, or at least since
I didn't see your face. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, we have a lot going on at our house. We have people working. We have kid at school. Anyway, you know how it is. So.
No, anyway. We don't. That's what we want to talk about. How hard is it? It's hard for all of us. How many of you guys have kids at home? Just Rosemary? Oh, Jennifer?
I'm about to have two.
Alicia?
From the East Coast, so. Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. We get it. Ellen? Yeah.
Yeah, hi. I'm new to this group. I'm taking the place of Stephanie Quinn, who's had a doctor appointment. So she asked me to be on the call. And I'm a case manager at Jewish Family Service in Allentown. So she's the older adult case manager. I'm 65 and under.
But
I get what you're all saying. I was on a Zoom call about a half hour ago for 2 hours, so I'm kind of burnt right now. But I promised her I'd be on this, and I promised her I'd take notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I have something to share. I'm not new though.
No, it's fine. Okay.
So our federation actually, across the board, people lost hours, some were furloughed, and at the very least had salary cuts. But one of the things that they gave back to everybody who qualified, which was the majority, unless they were furloughed entirely, was they could take 1 week off at their pre-COVID rate. So in other words, in order to use our vacation time, because many people were sort of, I don't want to say it this way, but really hoarding their vacation days because they say, where am I going to go? I'd rather save it for next year when hopefully, God willing, we'll be able to take some time off and go somewhere. So as an incentive to use the vacation time rather than to lose it, but also to be paid at our pre-COVID rate, we were given the opportunity to take a week's vacation time, again, at that higher salary between the time that it was shared, I want to say July, and December 2020.
That's a good idea. Anyone else have any ways that they are managing staff or themselves during this time? People doing yoga, meditation?
So Ann and I work for the same Jewish Family Service in Cincinnati. And last week, we had a special staff meeting that was just devoted to setting boundaries and sort of reclaiming your personal head space and physical space. They brought in a social worker, I think he was from California, right, Ann, or something like that, and he led us through a session with breakout rooms just about helping us talk to each other about and hear from him about ways we can reduce stress and create boundaries for ourselves in this new work from home environment. So that was really helpful. If anybody wants
some highlights,
and I can get it for you if you're interested. He was in California, we're in Ohio, so it was all
Did he give you a pager, a one pager of ideas?
Not so much a one pager, but a slideshow, you know, a presentation. And then actually in the breakout rooms, we were all supposed to come back three things that either we are doing for ourselves or that we vow to do for ourselves, either ideas that we came up with or things we were taking from someone else. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, our staff meetings, like everybody's, can tend to be kind of long and very verbose. And this was just a chance for us to focus on ourselves and each other, mm-hmm. and not on the clients for a change. And it was just, and it wasn't our regular time. It was like in the middle of the day. So everybody was like a little bit more awake and a little bit more interested. And it was optional. So if you didn't want to come, you didn't have to, but it was sort of offered as a CE. Mm-hmm. Were there CEUs? And I think there was
CEUs. Yes, there were CEUs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was and can add anything, but it was definitely something that we are not taking enough time for ourselves out of every day.
So here's an idea.
One of his concepts that I liked was the idea that we're used to having a commute, and how did you use your commute before, and how are you creating a commute for yourself now, like that time to decompress or listen to music or whatever it was. So I like that notion of creating a commute space for yourself in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Like Rosemary, you got to figure out what you can do, right? To when you leave this, to commute back to your, you know, bedroom or downstairs to the kitchen. But, you know, I think that's a really good idea. And maybe we can, unless Christina or Adam think this isn't a good idea, maybe we can just take a minute and everyone just go around and say something they really like to do. Right? Something that they enjoy doing outside of work. You know, that I can start if you want to, just so we remember that we have some strengths, that there are things we'd like to do. And maybe you can hear from other people what they do and say, oh, I forgot, I haven't been doing that. So I like to fly kites.
Ooh.
Adam.
I like to go biking.
Debbie.
Well, I used to like to cook, but that ended with COVID. but I'm just tired of it. But I love being with my children.
Anne.
I mean, I'm like Debbie. I used to like to cook a lot. Hiking is for my thing right now.
Benjamin.
I like to cook. But I also, I make a point of walking a half an hour at least every day after work.
Smart. Risa.
I would say walking and reading.
Nanette.
I like to garden.
Ooh. Brenda.
So, since I don't have the 1 hour commute anymore, I take that time to take a fast walk, an hour walk with my dog now every morning, which I wasn't able to do before. So there are some benefits.
So optimistic. That's nice. Hetty.
I've been reading books that I haven't got that were on a list for a long time, particularly on Shabbat. I don't work on Shabbat and I normally go to synagogue and have company. And since I don't do that, I've just read some spectacular fiction and nonfiction.
It looks like you do like to read. That's quite a large bookshelf behind you, right? Or bookcases. Cheryl.
I also like to cook. I haven't gotten sick of it yet, but I like to be outside. So in the garden, in the yard, on a walk, in the mountains, just outside. I get a lot of fulfillment and rejuvenation from fresh air.
Yeah. Rebecca.
So everything has changed, obviously, from a COVID standpoint, but I'm also expecting my first baby. So I like to do anything baby planning.
That's exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Jennifer.
I am a dog lover and hopefully they will stay quiet behind me, but I find myself spending more time outside with the dogs, you know, throwing the Frisbee, going on walks.
Where's WPB?
Oh, West Palm Beach. Beach.
West Palm Beach, of course. Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's so
hot. Gotta know the lingo. Allison.
I'm one of Jennifer's care managers and I'm a dog lover. So I have four and we're out by the pool a lot or go up to the beach and just kind of hang out there. But I will say one thing that I shared in my staff meeting, which was it's no longer that you're working from home, we're actually living at work. So you have to really take the time to have that boundary and separate it. And I also meditate every morning to get myself started on the right foot, because otherwise it's just not a good day for me. So that's me.
That's a great conversation to have with staff living at work, I think. Very interesting. Yeah. Okay, Aleka?
Yes, Aleka. Walking my dogs more, which I've always done, but walking them, planning my daughter's first birthday on Friday.
What are you doing?
Literally nothing, but we're taking her to the Cincy Zoo, the Cincinnati Zoo. We'll get one if you will.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Catherine.
Hi, I'm also in West Palm Beach and a big dog lover. So I am outside a lot with my dog, walking with her and staying active. And yeah, I've enjoyed that. So,
Rosemary, Utah.
I like anything outside. I'm outside a lot. I like hiking, pickleball, walking, gardening outside.
Pickleball. That's a big new sport. Laura. We can't hear you.
You hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I've been chasing sunrises and sunsets, trying to just step out and enjoy those two times a day with a walk with the dogs, or cheating on them and going by myself and just enjoying that.
I like that idea. Donnie.
Walking or biking?
Walking or biking.
Yeah.
Okay. Fabulous. Ellen. You're frozen. Kathleen. You can't talk. Brianna, put it in the, or can you talk, Kathleen? You can put it in the chat. Brianna.
I like to walk my dogs and play tennis.
Okay. And Alice Tennis, what do you like to do?
Mine is, I've got an app on my phone called Insight Timer. And so I try to commit every day to do some meditation or to listen to, you know, a nice talk on mindfulness and something like that, so that I've got some moments of peace in my day.
That's really nice. So you want to put that in the chat so we know what app that is, in case anyone wants to download it.
Sure. I can, and I'd be glad to do that.
And Christina, bring us home.
Oh my God. So I gotta tell you, I'm hoping that you guys are doing everything that you said you're doing. I love dancing and I love working out. Working out is my drug, but haven't been able to do either. In the beginning we've kind of done, but now I'm just so busy and I'm listening to you. I'm like, am I the only one who's not taking care of myself? It can't be. I just ran away. I went to a different country, despite a COVID or anything. I just said, that's it, enough. I'm going on a plane and all, but I am
Christina listening. Went on a plane to Russia, stopping in Turkey for 7 hours and had a mask on for like 50 hours or something. And she's still smiling. She was so happy.
More than 24 hours. I got sick there, not COVID, but what I'm saying is, I'm very glad, again, listening to you, it seems like you're taking care of yourself, and I'm hoping that you're really doing that. It's not just what you like to do, but what you're actually doing now, and it's awesome. I think it's very important. I keep telling myself that, you know, okay, I'm going to need to do this. Today's going to be yoga or whatever, but it's, you know, life gets in the way. There's that Zoom call that starts, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for participating in this impromptu moment for us to share what we like to do. I got a few good ideas. And I guess now you guys have whatever you have to do, whatever you want to talk about.
Adam, you take it away, because there were questions, correct?
Yeah, well, and Hetty, were you raising your hand or just scratching your head?
I was raising my hand. I just want to say, when California with the fires, I mean, I used to go for a walk. I went out and I was coughing and couldn't sleep. And we have that extra anxiety level. And I'm finding just, that's one piece of it. And I'm finding that generally I'm working more. There's much more to do.
staff are needing more support, they can't support me, and all these things are great. And yes, I do take Shabbat off, but and I do go for walks when it, even sometimes when it's not healthy. But not everybody is doing all these things. I mean, our work has to get done. Our work is not going away, and it's, I think it's getting more intense as this continues, and it's, you know, we're trying to get, I'm still trying to get PPEs and trying to get staff and create a transition to doing a little bit more in the community and getting pushback from some and okay from another and trying to negotiate all that. So I think it's, you know, it's nice. It's important to do what we can, but this is really a tough time. And we have to give credit to all of ourselves for doing more than we usually do in very tough times with stress of getting sick. And in our case, buyers and just breathing the air being a bad thing. And so there's just a lot going on.
It's been terrible, right? Yeah. In San Diego and Adam and, you know, Washington State.
Yeah. What you're saying, Hetty, really resonates with me. And I am wondering, I have no good ideas, but I do feel, and this sort of related to what Brenda was talking about, how you're in meetings all day and then you're like trying to catch up with 1,000 emails at night, because I feel like my staff need more support than ever, have more questions than they've ever had, and I have fewer answers oftentimes. So we're, you know, trying to figure things out, but just to keep on top of the constant barrage of emails with more meetings, I have not found a good way to do, you know, do the things I enjoy doing. I'm working many more hours. And this is something all of the program managers here in Seattle are experiencing, in addition to the smoke that Hetty mentioned, which is, you know, another thing that's keeping all of us inside here, which is really challenging. I don't know how others have, I mean, trying to do the things we can to take care of ourselves, but even if there are strategies for how you manage that constant need for support from staff so that you don't drown in it. I have not found a good solution for that. I feel like I'm constantly missing emails, behind on things, and sort of drowning in the barrage of supporting, you know, a team of people. So I don't know. I do love, we've also taken days off in Seattle, closed our agency for a couple days, which was great. It still hasn't, you know, stopped the tide of need from staff and clients. So I don't know if anyone maybe just can commiserate with me or has ideas on how they've handled this.
I don't know. I don't have good answers for you, Adam. I have to say, as everybody said, you know, you zoom and zoom and zoom, and then you take an email, and then you still have to take care of your family and children, and that's, you know, by the time I'm done, it's time to go to bed. But I have found, like, we actually go in the way with one of the little programs that I have, and, you know, I've been concerned about staff, and there's only about 15 clients, which will transfer to another agency, but anyway. And I've been stressing out about it. And it was really nice after a little staff meeting we had, one of my staff called me and she said, you know, I know that you constantly worry about us and doing things for us. She goes, how are you? How are you taking that? And that was the sweetest thing that I've heard, you know, that they actually really thought about me, you know, how is it for me to lose that little program? So it was nice.
I have something to add to that, actually. Brianna and I are doing mental health OT. She's my intern, Brianna. And we work with people on having a balanced schedule every day. And when we work with them, you know, we were reminded of that for ourselves all the time. So I think we're pretty honest with our clients about our own life, and that we want to all feel balanced. And so I think they're very understanding about that because they're working on that and we're working on that too. So it helps to be honest in a way, to mm-hmm. know. And then they do ask, come around and ask about what we're doing too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really the first time I think that I can remember that well, maybe during 9/11, that the therapists and the workers are in the same situation as the clients and the staff. I mean, everyone has is living in this world that's so unpredictable. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, none of us have any of the answers. And it just makes it, for you know, it's different because some of you are the directors and managers of your programs, if not all of you. And you know, people always look to their program directors to have the answers, and it's hard when you don't have them because you don't know.
I was just going to say that on one hand, I know COVID has been a blessing. I'm not going to say for everybody has been a blessing, but it's on one hand for us, it kind of has been because I've been able to see my daughter's first year and still work and love my job. But I think the mental burnout is what's for me the most brutal thing is just so like, I feel like I'm trying all the self-care in the world because I'm trying to make time for it, like getting up at 5 o'clock, which I think is driving my husband insane. But the mental burnout of just not knowing when this is going to end and why can people just wear their masks and just be a decent human being? That's a personal thing. Just exhausted, like mentally exhausted and just mentally burned out.
And honestly, I was a stay-at-home mom for 3 years, and you work a lot more physically with the kid versus mentally, especially when they're so little. And at work, it's the other way usually. And I had to tell you, mental exhaustion is a lot harder than physical. I was like, I would do manual labor any day versus that constant stress.
Right. I like the idea of meditating. Whoever said they meditate in the morning.
Yeah, definitely.
That's an interesting idea. In the middle of the day, or, you know, take a break. Like, I wanted to do all of our affinity groups for 50 minutes. That was my plan, but you can't put 50 minutes on a Zoom call. But, you know, we could end 10 minutes earlier if we wanted to, because then it gives people time to go to the bathroom, to get up, to walk around, maybe to do 2 minutes of meditation, some deep breathing, so that you can, you know, function.
It's a good idea. I had a comment to Adam, something I've been thinking about, because I've felt, of course, too, that the staff need more support because the rules are evolving of what we're doing and how to do it, and there's always something new that comes up. So I've tried to flip the switch a little bit and be intentional about more time with the staff kind of proactively, so that I'm meeting with them more on a scheduled basis. I know that there's still only just so many hours in the day, but, you know, calling more to check in to say, how are you doing? And then it feels a little bit more like things get worked out in that way. Then there's a few less emails. And then it also directs people to support each other so that it doesn't have to be only up, it can be, you know, peer-to-peer support. So I'm seeing that is happening also, that, you know, people are seeing like, okay, well, we can figure it out ourselves, and then we can maybe see what Laura thinks about that, rather than it having to be me as their first stop. So just a thought.
That's a great idea, I think, Adam. Laura, how often do you meet with them? Do you do like weekly with each person or every other week?
Weekly, and we had just been so busy in responding that we weren't, you know, as disciplined maybe in doing a video meeting where it might have been on the phone in the middle of other things. So we are getting back to doing video. It's once a week, but then also calling and checking in and texting and just even, you know, how's your day going so far? Not have it to be just business, but just, you know, kind of upping the connections that, like Aleka was talking about. It's very disconnecting, this experience for all. So I think that just even having more time together is a way to combat some of the stress in little connections, is what I've found.
And I'm sure they feel very supported by you, by your doing that, right?
And I feel it from them because, you know, we can also get to a bit of shorthand when we laugh because we have no idea what the answer is. So we just be like,
yeah, right.
I don't know. This is the third one today. I have no idea what to say. You know, so it just, I think that connecting is a good way to get through it, but it's not.
Okay.
And this is so simple, but this is something that someone said to me a long time before COVID, and I might said at the end of the day, look back on everything that you did and you got done versus everything that didn't get done or that won't get done, because you have to sleep, you have to take care of yourself, you have to do the basics. And for me, that just lets me let it go, because I can look back and think, oh my God, all of this wouldn't have gotten done. Or look what I'm able to pick up on tomorrow because I laid the groundwork today. And that mind shift has been helpful also.
That's great. I'm loving this. Thank you, Laura. So Laura, can I ask you another question real quick? So do you like schedule them kind of back to back to back, or do you try to break it up between different like days? So I'm just trying to see what's going to be less exhausting.
I have different days. So I have people every week on a different day, but then I check in with them each day, or they check in with me, just how's it going, or it could be a question, or it could be even say that we have something new to try to figure out. We don't try to cram it just into that 1 hour, but we'll make a separate half an hour meeting. I have one at 3:30 to 4 where we're working on just a discrete project, and that has been helpful too, because I feel like it's more connection, it's saying, okay, I don't expect you to just go figure it out. We're gonna have this working meeting and have a product after half an hour, and then we're both kind of done with this. So that's what we've done. But the back-to-back, I have to get better at that. I had gotten really good in pre-COVID about scheduling buffers in between things because you had to travel or
right.
or that, or you know, even going to another part of the building here. But I'm terrible at it with Zoom, and I back myself up constantly, and that's not good.
Right, like so right now, Debbie, workshop. We have to set boundaries for ourselves.
Yes. You know? Like I'd really like to get some hot water in this mug. I've been trying to for a couple hours.
Go now and come back.
Go now.
Yeah, I think you should get.
Take
I
care
do.
Of yourself. Come back.
Someone did mention having, you know, 50-minute meetings, you know, like therapists, and I haven't done it, and I think it's a great idea. I have seen other people do it. So I think it's a really, everybody benefits from that 10-minute break. So maybe that's something that we can all try. And Laura, I like all of your ideas as well about how you check in with staff. I do, there was a question that came up in the chat that I just want to, if other people have input from Nanette about doing in-person visits, several people responded in the chat. We have a protocol at in Seattle that I can send around for how we're right now, we're doing them outdoors, although we can't do them outdoors now because of the smoke. So actually today we're doing our first in-home visit with additional, but we have a whole protocol that staff must go through and that clients must go through in order for a visit to take place. So I can share that, but I don't know, Nanette, if you had other, if you want, I can walk through what that is really quickly, or if other people have input to your question, or if you want to, Nanette, say it out loud. Because I think it's an important question.
Mm-hmm. Give us your protocol quickly.
Sure. So the protocol that we have is, so staff have to go through a series of, I think it's 4 questions, which I can't remember, about different COVID symptoms and exposures. They must call clients the morning of the appointment and go over those same questions with clients. So clients have to answer the phone, respond to the same questions, and answer no to all of those. And then at visits, then they show up at visits. Clients are told they are required to wear masks. And if they don't have a mask, we will provide one. Mm-hmm. If they take off the mask during the visit, we will leave. And so staff usually wear, we have some N95 masks. They usually wear N95 masks if it's outside. Indoors, we're also wearing face shield and gloves. We don't require outdoors for staff to wear face shield and gloves.
Yeah, I forgot that there was another meeting.
Unless they'll be, you know, sometimes they're doing paperwork together. So in those cases, we do have staff wear a little bit more, but they have to maintain 6 feet of distance outdoors. That will be the same indoors. If they wow. cannot maintain social distance, the meeting is canceled, you know, at the moment that that takes place. Oh. And then staff are told that they must, you know, sanitize before and after visits, or if they're able to, wash their hands, dispose of any PPP they're wearing immediately after the meetings. And then, you know, we have wipes if they want to wipe down their car, sanitizing wipes after visits, and ideally before as well. So for the most part, clients have complied. We've only had a couple. We've had some clients with dementia who got confused with the masks or didn't mm-hmm. want to wear them. So we did end some visits prematurely. But until the smoke started, all visits were being done outdoors, which limited, some clients couldn't get outdoors. It also honestly limits our assessment abilities because so much of our assessment is going into people's homes. But it's better to see the person than to not see them at all. So
into homes after this? Like, what? No.
What's that?
Are you going into homes? Will you be going into the
We made this exception just today because of the smoke situation. It's actually not safe for people. Now it's like, is it more unsafe to be outside or more unsafe to be inside? So right now the case numbers, we also watch the case numbers very closely in our local county. They have decreased significantly. So we are considering doing more in-home visits because of case numbers, and then the smoke arrived. So even though the county itself, we're at phase two, every place has different phases, but we're very close to meeting criteria for phase three here locally. So I think our big question, however, is what will happen in the fall when we expect cases to again rise. And so we may do home visits very temporarily for the next few weeks or months, and then we may have to stop them if cases rise. But that's sort of where we're at in Seattle.
Adam, are you requiring staff to do the face-to-face?
No. So nobody is required, only staff that are comfortable and clients that are comfortable.
Okay.
So no, there's no, so we really have one staff person, I'll be honest, who, is very open to doing this and has pushed actually for us to do this. But there's other staff whose clients have asked them to come, and the staff person's not comfortable, and so we're not requiring those staff people to do that.
Okay. I have a question about, are you guys having COVID waivers? Are you having staff and clients or either one sign anything saying they know that there's a risk and that they're gonna follow these protocols? And then the other double question to that is, are you or anybody doing virtual assessments to take on new clients, or are things pretty much on hold for taking on new clients if you're not doing assessments?
We don't have a waiver. I have gotten a copy of the waiver from Atlanta, I believe it is, and I've mm-hmm. shared that with our HR department, but we have not implemented it. So Atlanta, if you want to see a waiver, I'm pretty sure it came from Atlanta.
It's in our resource library. You can find the waiver under the affinity group, older adults.
Yeah. So that's.
I think what's interesting about what Adam said, I don't know if all of you are doing the same thing, is that they're predicating what they're doing on the county tallies of COVID, and they're making decisions based on that. Or is that what other agencies are doing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to answer the question about the virtual assessments for new clients. We at Gulf Coast Clearwater, we have enrolled, because I have a lot of, all of the elder and disabled services are under myself. The state programs, I had to tell you, more than 200 people since April, new clients we've enrolled virtually. We do in, whether by telehealth or just by phone.
Wow.
So they've allowed us, the state has allowed us electronic signatures. So we just, you know, get a verbal consent from the client and fill out all of the forms. And I got to tell you, my case managers don't like it. It's hard to understand and, you know, what the client's needs are without seeing them. Doing it over the phone, but so far it has worked out pretty good considering.
So I'm looking at the clock and we have 8 minutes to 3:20 if we end at 3:50 to do what we said. And I know we had a lot of questions and we want to make sure that you all, you know, ask any questions you may have. I don't know if people are thinking about the high holidays or not.
Did anybody else want to say anything else about the visits? We're also bringing on new clients, but we're doing mostly virtual assessments, which are not very good.
So Adam, then can I just ask for you or anyone who's bringing on new clients outside of counseling, so from a case management standpoint, what are you able to offer them post that virtual assessment since you're not going in person to do case management or you're not driving them from a volunteer perspective, like what are you offering them? That's what we're looking at because we're getting all sorts of calls and of course looking into the fall, what can we still do? What should we be doing? Because certainly there's needs.
I'm not a case manager, but I know that our social worker is going and helping with the mail, helping check on mail and going through it with the clients. I'm doing activities with the clients. So if the client would like to do mosaics, I get the materials, we bring it over to their home, set them up over the phone, what to do. We maybe do it together on a we do activities together through the teletherapy. So I think the social workers do that too. We once had a Zoom meeting with our client and all of us, our team, with the client and just chatted. It was a social group. So, you know, we kind of, whatever goals we have, we're trying to do, have them do it on their own, but with our help. Virtually.
So can I add to that, to the new clients, from the case management standpoint, we're offering them the same things. A lot of our home health agencies are not going in the homes, but we still have plenty that are willing to go. So meals are being delivered. We're doing the emergency buttons for them. Daycare's not open, so we can't do that, but we can do incontinence supplies. So, I mean, pretty much most of everything that we used to do pre-COVID, if they're accepting it.
Any volunteer services by phone?
Yes, we do. We have volunteer services. We have our chats program. So a volunteer calls them weekly, and it's not a therapy session. It's just a friendly conversation. And then we have a couple of younger volunteers that just call our elderly clients and they can help them with technical issues, technology and stuff like that, your Zooms, your WhatsApp and FaceTimes, all of that good stuff.
So Deb, you want to say something? Where's Deb? Was someone else saying something first? I'm sorry. Okay.
Wanted to mention, in case anybody has somebody who would be interested, Brown Center in Detroit is doing our fourth annual dementia-friendly Kol Nidre Yom Kippur service, and we're doing it virtually this year, so it's kind of open to everybody. If we would have been at the conference, you guys all would have gotten to hear all about it. It's a 45-minute service. It's mostly music and all of the familiar high holiday tunes that people are used to. So I'm going to put the link to the event in the chat. Again, you guys are all a little too far away to get the gift bag that goes along with it this year, but we will be happy to send out electronic version of our machzor. And, you know, if you have people who would benefit from it, please share the link with them.
Wait a minute, that's a great idea. I don't know if anyone's interested in that. Is the Moxor on this website that you just put in the chat?
That's the event link. You have to RSVP to get the actual Zoom link. So, you know, if you guys are interested, I will just put my email in the chat. Also, you can just email me directly and I will.
Because I did, that was a terrific, right, you were going to be presenting it at the conference this past April. It's a really good program.
Thank you.
I remember, yeah.
It's an award-winning program.
Award-winning.
That's right. So if you have people that are interested, you know, just email me, I'll send you the Zoom link.
That's very generous. Thank you so much, Deb. That's why we love the network. Everyone can share resources and people don't have to reinvent the wheel. Thank you.
Lisa, I wanted to remind you to talk about the conference.
Do people have anything that, you know, this was shortened and we spent a lot of time talking about what we do to take care of ourselves, but does anyone have anything they want to talk about, anything they want to say, something burning before I talk about the conference? So, does someone?
I'm going to just pop in and just add one thing that one of the social workers in our agency had pointed out to me. There's something called negativity bias, which is actually, it's real, that people tend to look at the negativity in our lives instead of our positivity. And that you look at a major percent of the negativity that's going on. So I've been trying to research that a bit, and it's been very helpful to, you know, realize that you can, that you do, we all do focus on our negative parts in our lives. So, I mean, looking at the group here, it's a
to help group us, of, have you learned any tips that you can tell us to help us focus on the positive parts?
I haven't, but I have three grown children, and I was with one of them who happens to be a resident in a COVID ICU, and I was pointing out something negative to him. And then I was like, wait a second, you're doing beyond what I would be doing at this point. And you're really helping people and working with families and working with patients that are really struggling. And I changed my tune with him, you know, with my focus. And I think a lot of times we don't realize how much we're actually doing for people. Like this whole group is doing so much for people.
It's true, you guys are. And that's what I always said in the very beginning, you were heroes, right? You are the heroes in this whole crisis. And I agree with you, Ellen. So you have to think about that. When you're feeling down, you're feeling negative, you wanna think about what you're doing and change it, reframe it, right? So, anyone else want to say anything? Any other words of wisdom before we go into this new year? What is it? 5771?
5781.
81.
Thank you. 5781. I hope that Ruben doesn't hear this recording. So, 5781. So, what I wanted, and I'm serious about that, I hope that whatever I said, I hope it's true. So, I can't remember. But I wanted to tell you about the conference in the minute that we have left. And that is that we're planning one, a virtual conference in the last 2 weeks of April, first week of May, we're not really sure. And we're going to charge agencies a certain amount of money depending on how large your agency is. So as many people can go as they want to. And we're going to try to make it so that all the affinity groups sort of have a little track, right? So maybe there'll be three sessions for older adult services, depending on how many days we have it, how many half days we have it. And there's gonna be a lot of time for networking and fun networking and all sorts of things. So we're gonna get to know each other like we were sitting around at a table having lunch. And so we'll know more than just, you know, who likes to garden and hike and bike and all those kinds of things, even though that's important. And maybe we'll give you a quiz next time to see who remembers. I'm kidding. So I want everyone just to think about innovative programs they have or ideas that they may have that might benefit all of us. And I even encourage people to work together to, you know, put a workshop together And the RFP will probably come out at the end of October, and we'll have around 2 months to do it. But it's just something to think about. And I hope that all of you will be able to attend, because, and I hope all your agencies will buy into this conference so that everyone can come. And that's it. That's the big plug for the conference. And that's not until spring. So in this next week, let's just concentrate on getting, you know, through every day, being positive and remembering your worth and how your work is important and what you're doing is important. So with that said, I guess we'll say goodbye. Go to the bathroom, get some tea, and take some deep breaths and enjoy the rest of your day. Shana Tova.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.